Isaiah 43. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read verses 10 through 12. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, your word. Once again today, this preacher needs your help. Lord, I need your power, I need your wisdom. You know the things I need today, Father. I'm trusting you for them. And Father, once again, we need you here as a church today, that our hearts will be open to the word of God, that it'll be a blessing and a help to each one of the folk that's here. If there's any here unsaved, we trust God this will be the day of their salvation. Father, we pray for we as God's children to be stirred and helped today, that we'll be better for you than we've ever been before. Now, Father, help us that your will be done. In the lovely, wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I simply have entitled, Ye Are My Witnesses. I believe, and I've told our Sunday school class, and I think maybe I might just mention again real quickly, it's been my desire from the last quite a few weeks to, and I've asked God to help me do this, to bring messages that will help us prepare our hearts for the revival meeting coming up. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do amongst our people, amongst all of us. And I trust that your hearts, as I've asked you, I've asked each one of all of us to prepare our own hearts before the Lord, to be ready for the revival meeting. And I believe that's what we need to do, is let God prepare each one of our hearts so we'll be receptive. Not your neighbor, not somebody else, but you. Just be receptive to the word of God, that God will be able to do some things for us here at our church. Now, this morning, I'm going to preach a message. I want you to listen up to me. I've got some things to say about the church. I believe that the church is hurting in America. I believe it's hurting. I believe there's some serious problems. And we need to get back where we should be. We need to get back on track with God. We need to, as you heard the other night about the Ichabod, we need to get that removed off of churches all across this land and off of our lives. We need to let the glory return. Amen. So that God can have his will. Now, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I've told God in private, and I tell him in public, he's the one that deserves praise and honor. And anyone else deserves it, he does. And we need to be a people that's willing to let him honor himself through this church. So we're going to, like I say, bring a message to you this morning that I'll trust it's gonna, and trust it'll help and be a blessing. Ye are my witnesses. Paul and Silas came in to Thessalonica back in Acts, the 17th chapter. They came in and they was accused, after they got done preaching, they was accused of turning the world upside down. And one of the reasons they said they was preaching another king, this one called Jesus. Well, I think that's a good thing to do, is preach that. If that turns the world upside down, that's what we need. I don't think probably more than likely the church of the 90s or the early 2000 can be accused of turning the world upside down. I'm sorry about that, but I wish it could be, but I don't think we can be accused of that. I think we need to get God's power back in our churches. Now, I love you, and I love this church, and we've seen wonderful things happen here, but we shouldn't be satisfied. We need to let God's power take over and do what he needs to do here. In this church, you see, it's not about government changing people. You see, we just get so caught up with this thing and elections and all this thing. And listen, folks, I'm for godly people, righteous people being in places of leadership. I believe it should be, And I want that. And I'm thankful we've got a man in the White House who's saved. I'm grateful for that and thankful for that. But I want to tell you, he's not the answer for America. He's part of the answer. He'll help, but he's not the answer. You know, God said, if my people shall humble themselves, that's the first thing he asked them to do, said, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from heaven. Amen. And he said, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. This land needs healed. And we need to humble ourselves before God Almighty. And we need to pray and seek his face. And we need to turn from wickedness. And we need to do that, you see, so God can bless and so he can heal this land of ours, you see. I believe our country, our land here, suffers because the church has turned from its major purpose, the purpose that God put the church here for. I believe that God put the church here to do the battle for the souls of men. And I believe that's the purpose of it. I believe the reason that God put the church is so we can get people saved. You see, even your growth as a Christian, what's it for? So you'll get people saved. And I think we've turned from the basic principle of what we're all about, for the purpose of what we're all about. We're not doing that anymore. We're more interested in bake sales and rummage sales and entertainment and things like that in our churches than we are doing God's work. And I think it's time we turn from the social. We don't do that social stuff here, but I'm just saying, and when I say that, we try to help people and things like that, but it's not, that's not our criteria. That's not the purpose of this church. And we got to turn from that, these social issues, and get to the spiritual issues, because that's the problem. Now, I brought you something this morning, and I know you're going to be interested in it. It's a newspaper. I know everybody wants me to read the newspaper in church this morning, but what it says is this. It says, church briefs. I want to tell you something. I want you just to listen a moment to what the churches are advertising. Will you do that with me just a moment? Just be patient with me. Here's what it says. Pastor, and I'll try not to use names. Pastor will speak at 8:45, the traditional service, and then in the contemporary service at another time here. And then it says that here at this men's breakfast, we'll meet at 7:30 in the fellowship hall. And said the annual blood drive will be staged in the church from 7:30 to 10 a.m. Boy, now, isn't that exciting? I mean, isn't that something going to help God's business? Now, just listen to me. It says, here's another one. It says, at 9 a.m. Sunday, the Wisdom Circle meets, a non-judgmental spiritual group. That's what it says. I'm just reading to you. That explores the journey of self-discovery through heart-to-heart discussion with rotating leadership. That's what it says. At 9 a.m. Sunday, the Creating Your Own Theology discussion group explores various traditions. There are a lot of folk would like that. At 10 o'clock Sunday, the Rationalist Free Thinking Group discussion group includes members of the congregation as well as members of the community. The discussion is of current social political events and trends. Now, this is on the church page. And then it says down here, it says another church here. The Sunday will begin the registration of appointments for the new church directory photographs. And it says here on, and then Monday through Friday, preparation classes, instructions by this fellow are available at 9 and through 11, to 11 o'clock in the church lounge. And elementary students, tutoring programs meet. And then it says the pastor's Bible/book class will be at 6:30 p.m. Monday and 6 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday. The Taekwondo. Has anybody ever heard of the Taekwondo? I mean, anybody ever heard of that? Taekwondo. Yeah, listen, it says, the Taekwondo meets in fellowship hall with black belt instructor. Registration is now open. I'm not going to tell all of our people where that's at because you might be running over there. It says, registration is now open for new Taekwondo classes. And then Tuesday, the new Union Hospital yoga class meets in the fellowship hall. Men breakfast meets at Post 40 Restaurant. At 9 a.m. Wednesday, the quilting bee meets in the fellowship hall. And you know what it says? It says any quilters is welcome. And it says Thursday is practice for the community children's choir directed by so-and-so. And then down here it says something about the chancel choir practice is open to anyone who likes to sing. That's what's going on at the church. Public is invited to a series of Lenten luncheons that will be conducted on Wednesday. It says, everyone who wishes to observe Lent will come to Cenotary for a free lunch of soup and sandwiches and to spend some time in meditative worship. Let's see down here. Oh, yeah, the United Campus Ministry is having a chili feast. The honor of Black History Month. Alan Chample will be host to the Terre Haute Symphony Orchestra in the first of a series of free public concerts in historic Terre Haute churches. There will be a brief presentation of Historic Landmark Foundation Incorporated about the history and architectural and the ongoing restoration of the important Terre Haute landmark. Now, this is at churches. Here's another one. How do we maximize success in our decisions, in our decision-making process? There are hundreds of decisions that have a direct impact on our lives and will affect our success in life. Some decisions, such as do I change careers, or do I purchase a home or rent, and who and when should I marry, can have direct effect on our happiness and future success. Now, it's not talking about success with God, it's talking about success in life. All are welcome to come and enjoy snacks and listen to a message for successful living. Let me see, this guy will give a sermon entitled Word to Live By. And the public, it wasn't a guy, it was a woman. She's the pastor. The public is invited to the second class in the church's six-week series about sanctuary at 9 a.m. Visiting speaker Mary Patterson will lead a discussion about sanctuary from the Buddhist perspective. Now I'm mad. But that's on church briefs. That's what's going on in our churches. Oh, I know it isn't going on here and isn't going on in a lot of other churches around the country. I know that. I'm well aware of that. We got some wonderful churches in America. But I want to tell you, it's a shame that's going on. And it isn't any wonder that we need revival in America. You know, we laugh at that, and I kind of done that intention. You know, we get a little laugh, but I want to tell you, that's sad business. That's what the churches of America have become. Social things, you know, when the Word of God is supposed to be preached. And let me say to you, I believe something. I believe a world mocks at that kind of Christianity. I believe the world mocks at a place where the power of God is gone. You can go back to 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, and we heard last night about, you know, the Ichabod, and we heard about it. If you look at that and read that whole story on that, and you find out that Israel was defeated. The Ark of God was not in their presence. And so they got defeated. I think it was around 4,000 that was killed. And so they said, well, we got to get the Ark here. You know the story. We've got to get the Ark here. And Hophni and Phinehas, reprobates, said, we got to get the Ark here, so we'll go down and get the Ark. And they went down and got the Ark, thinking that would take care of it. They forgot to bring the God of the Ark with them. But they went down and got the Ark, and they brought it back. And of course, the Philistines at first got scared because they heard everybody rejoicing. That's what they're doing today in churches today. They're rejoicing because they've got the Ark, and they don't have the God of the Ark. They've got their big buildings and got all these other things that goes along with it, but they don't have God in there. And, of course, the Philistines finally looked at him and said, you know, he told the other Philistines, said, act you like men. Quit you like men. He said, we'll go up against them. And this time they killed 30,000 of the Israelites. 30,000. Slew them. And Hophni and Phinehas also was killed. That's Eli's sons. Of course, word came back to Eli, and he fell off of a bench and died, broke his neck and died. His daughter-in-law was about ready to have a baby, and she had her baby, Phinehas's his wife, and she had her baby, and she died in childbirth, and she named that child Ichabod. The glory has departed. Anytime the glory departs from the church, we're in real trouble. Now, that was a wonderful, wonderful illustration of that last Friday night, wonderful illustration of it. But I want to tell you, I don't think we understand. If you watched that play, you might not understand that that's going on all over America. Oh, yeah. Yeah, big shots trying to run the church, in the church, trying to be the big shot, be the Diotrephes of the church. Now, I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need to get back and getting the glory back into the church. You get God's power out of a church, and we're helpless. And I want to tell you, God's power is not in anything in any church that what I just read to you. If that's what they're doing, God's power is not there. God's not about that. God is about winning souls and preaching the word of God and getting people saved and getting them to grow in the Lord so they can win souls. See, I believe the world mocks at a church who constantly enjoys the pleasures and luxuries of the American way of life instead of devoting their life to God. And that's what we've got across America today. We've got people who's more concerned about the American dream than they are about God's business. And I'm saying to you, the world mocks at churches like that. I believe the world mocks at a church that is more interested in the country they came out of than the one they claim to be in. See, we've got to get rid of this stuff. We've got to get back to the power of God upon our lives, our individual lives, and upon our churches as we meet. We've got to do that, you see. If we want revival, we've got to get back to that, you see. We've got to get away from this social issue thing and get back to the spiritual. We need to be preached to us the spiritual things that will stir our heart back to God. Now just ask yourself right now, honestly, where is your heart? I mean, I can't answer for everybody, but where is your heart this morning? Are you more interested in the social issues? You're more interested in the things of this life and the American dream than you are of God's work? Did you honestly know that you was put here for the purpose of glorifying God? Would you let me read to you a verse of Scripture out of the same portion of Scripture that I just read in my text? If you will look at verse number 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God didn't make you for the glory of man, to be glorified by man. God made you to glorify God. God made me and you to be used of God for his glory. That's why we were made. That's the whole purpose of it, you see. And a church that doesn't get back to that and realize that, I want to tell you, the world out here is going to mock at it. I believe the world is mocking at a church that's not evangelizing, not doing the work that God had called them to do. They'd rather be entertained. They'd rather have the easy life. No. The world mocks at that, folks, because that's not what we're here put here for. What we do is we avoid all suffering and sacrificial living for God. We avoid that completely. We don't want that. We don't want that anymore because we just don't want to give up anything. We need to get back to realizing God is on the throne and he's the one that deserves to be honored and glorified. And this church and every other church ought to give him glory and honor. You believe that? Let me tell you something. The kind of church that I just read to you about and talked to you about will never turn this world upside down. The Apostle Paul was accredited with turning the world upside down. And his reason was because he was preaching Christ. Preaching the word of God. Preaching Jesus Christ. And he turned this old world upside down. Boy, if we could just get back to that. You see, Jesus said, the word of God says, ye are my witnesses. Did you know that if we're going to be a witness that God has commanded us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature? He says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know that's the way you become a witness? Do you know that's the way you become obedient to God Almighty? Is to get the word of God out to every creature? Did you know that's your purpose in life? Do you understand that? You see, what I'm getting here is I'm getting a real quiet over the congregation because you don't want to take that purpose upon your life. And that's the purpose God created you for, brother, sister. That's why God created you. That's why God's made you. That's why God saved you. Amen. And you know, in all seriousness, you don't mind that if you're doing it. You don't mind that. You know, I'm just saying to you, this old world is mocking the Christianity that we see in America today. They're mocking. They laugh at it. They have no reason to look and be changed by it. You know, we talk about churches being different. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be different. It needs to be a peculiar church. It doesn't bother me when they went uptown, they make fun of us and laugh at us for the way we dress and the way we do and all those things, because that's just natural. That's natural. I wouldn't want to not be laughed at. You understand what this preacher's saying? We got to be peculiar. We got to be different. Amen? So God has commanded us to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's the command of God. Now, I've hit this pretty hard. In fact, on Wednesday night, we preached Pluck Them Out of the Fire, or Snatch Them Out of the Fire. If you was not here on Wednesday night, you need to get the message and you need to listen to it. No, you need to get it and listen to it. This is all in preparation for a revival. And you need to get that message on Wednesday night. All right, we tape all of our messages back here. And you can get that. You can get it for a loan. You don't even have to buy it. You can just get it and we'll give it to you. And you can bring the tape back. But you ought to, if you was not here on Wednesday night, you ought to hear that message. Because it's part of the preparation of getting ready for revival. We need to see revival. We need God to do something here in this place. You remember back in Athens, and I didn't turn there, but in Acts, the 17th chapter, back in there when he went into Thessalonica, and then he went on to Athens. The Apostle Paul went on to Athens. The Bible said his heart was stirred within him. And why? Because the whole city was turned to idolatry. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? It just stirred him. His heart was stirred within him because of that. And I ask myself sometimes, is the church stirred over what's going on in America? Are you stirred when these sodomites can go out here and supposedly get married? Is your heart stirred when we've got 41 or 42 million abortions? Does it stir your heart when you look around and see all that's going on in America and the horrible sin that's going on? Does it stir you? I mean, I want to ask you a question. Are you stirred over the souls of men? Now ask yourself, in all seriousness though, now this is important that you don't just amen me. I like you amen me, but listen to me. You need to stop and think, is my heart really stirred over the lost? Does it bother me that people are lost and going to hell? Do I give it really any thought other than here at church when Pastor Ross is hitting me with it? Do I walk out of these services and do I have any concern about those who I see that are lost and going to hell? Do I have any concern whatsoever? See, you're the only one to answer that. I can't answer it, but I want to tell you something. Our hearts ought to be stirred what's going on in America. We ought to be stirred at what's going on, you see. And I believe what's happened is this. I believe the church, and you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying is the church as a whole has left its first love, so we don't love the first love of God, which is the souls of men. Amen. Folks, that's the first love of God, is the souls of men. And we've left our first love and we don't love the souls of men. You understand what this preacher's saying? What I'm trying to do is just trying to stir you up a little bit and trying to get you excited about the things of God, you see. You know, we are commanded in the Word of God to fight the good fight of faith. Instead, we are getting entangled in the things of this world. Folks, let it fall where it falls. We are so tangled up in the things of this world, we're not fighting the good fight of faith. We've become more concerned about houses and lands and finances and seeking the American dream than we are about God's work. Now listen to me. Don't you think this preacher is smart enough to know that you have to have some concern about those things and you have to deal with those things, that they ought not to be priority? I know folk have to live. I know folk have to make a living. I know folk have to do this and have to do that. I understand all of those things. That's part of life. God understands that too. He's the one who set this system up or allowed us to be in this system. But I want to tell you, he never ever once wanted that to be the priority of life.
Right.
And in the Christian's life today, I want to tell you, we're more concerned about our houses and our lands and our finances and this American dream that's out there than we are the things of God. We've got to get off of that. We'll never see revival if that's where our heart is. See, Demas was accused of forsaking Paul there, having loved this present world. And I believe something, we forsook the Savior because we love this present world. We come on Sunday and we say we love him. I'm not saying we don't love him as a Savior, but folks, we don't give ourselves to his work. To the soul of men. That's what God loves, is the souls of men. Jesus came seeking to save that which was lost. You know that. And he sent us to do the same thing. Amen. You see, we've got to get back there. We've got to put this old world things, you see, behind us. You see, if you love the world, he tells us the love of the Father is not in us. Which we've got to quit falling in love with the things of this world. We've got to fall in love with God's work. The things of God, you see. So you see, he's commanded us to be a witness. He's commanded us to be a witness that seeks the will of the Father. Jesus said that he didn't come to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And that's what God wants us to do. You see, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even so as I am followers of Christ. You see, it's not the world's will, it's God's will that we ought to be seeking. Amen? I want to turn you back there, if you want to turn there, but to the book of Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament. I want to show you something. Third chapter. What I want you to do, I just want you stirred up this morning. I want you to listen this morning. I want you to hear this morning and check out some things in your life. Where are you? Where does your thoughts and conversation go? Listen to what the Word of God says in Malachi, the 16th chapter, 16th verse of the third chapter. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. If you'll notice there, God said he wrote a book of remembrance of those who thought upon his name and spoke of his name. Now, I don't know, could you or I sit down with our children, sit down with them and say to them, you know what, I've spent my life speaking about the things of God. I want to talk to you about the things of God. I believe my name's written in the book there that God has because I talk of you. I speak of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what this preacher said? Now, I want you to just think a moment. What is most conversations made up of? Is it about the Lord? Do we speak often about him and the things of God? Do we really? Do we think upon it? Do we speak about it? Think about the conversations you've had already this morning. Was it about the Lord? We're in the house of God. Is it about the Lord? Most conversations that take place after church is not about the things of God. I'm just being honest with you. Here we've just heard messages. We've heard the word of God preached. And within a moment's time, in a few seconds, we can get our mind off on other things and start talking about other things. And the word of God has just gone out of our head. God's not pleased with that. See, that's why we have no depth. You see, we ought to be going home. Families ought to be going home and talking about the sermon. Ought to be talking about what you heard in Sunday school this morning, boys and girls. You ought to be talking about that, and you ought to discuss it and think about it. What did God speak to you about? You see, but before we even get dismissed out of our pews, we're thinking something else, something about this old world and about the plans we've got made and all these other things, and it just goes out of our head. But God is talking here. He said, if you fear God, he said, you think upon his name. For they feared God and they thought upon his name. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you mean we never should think or talk about other things? Certainly, Brother Ross knows that there's other things to be discussed. Certainly, Brother Ross knows there's times and things that has to be talked about. I know all that. But folks, listen, you just watch how Satan plucks from you the Word of God as soon as the services are over. We see folks saved around here. We see people come forward. And we rejoice as long as we're here, but you'll be surprised as soon as we turn from that and get away from the altar and what's happening. We're going into other conversations and thoughts instead of going back and saying to a brethren, oh, wasn't that good that God saved this soul? Wasn't that wonderful that so-and-so got saved? We got to remember to pray for him or her. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You see, when the glory of God is departed, you see, the power of God is gone. You see, we can do that. Why? Because we're just old human beings, and it's so easy for us just to just slip off into another realm and just be thinking about the fleshly things.
Right.
But that's not what God wants. So you can say anything you want. You can't back up your idea. When you think it's all right to spend all of your time talking about the things of this world, you can't back that up in Scripture. Amen. So he's commanded us to be a witness, to do the will of God, and also tells us we are sent to be his ambassadors. Paul said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I'm not going to dwell on that a long time. We've preached that before. You know what it means to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You represent him, folks. You understand? We are to be the ambassador for Jesus Christ. Paul said also that we are to be put in trust with the gospel. God has trusted us with the gospel. Who else is going to give it? He's trusted us with it, who know it. Amen? Do you understand that? He tells us also that we're a chosen generation. Folks, we're chosen of God. We're saved. We're chosen of God. We're put in trust with the gospel, the only message that can save. We're put in trust with it. To use it and to spread it to other people. See, he didn't send us here to become what the world is. All its customs and traditions and clothes and activities and speech. He never sent us here to be like the world. He sent us here to be different than the world. See, that's exactly what happened to the Jews. The Jews were sent into the world as a chosen people of God to be an example to the world. And instead of doing that, they got all caught up in the world. And they become like the world. You understand what this preacher's saying? And he brought the church forth to do the same thing. We're to be different, folks. We're not to be like the world. We're not to talk like the world and act like the world and dress like the world. We're not to do that. We're to be different. And what has the church done? It's just mingled in with the world and you can't even tell the difference. That's not what God sent us here for. No way. See, we're supposed to be ambassadors. Can you be a good ambassador out here on a public beach in a swimming suit? Is that a good ambassador? Can you be a good ambassador in a miniskirt? Boys, can you be a good ambassador bare chest? You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
You can't be ambassadors like that. Amen. You're an ambassador, all right, but it's the wrong kind.
Amen.
See, we've got to be different.
Amen.
See, we want to take up what the TV does and all the VCRs and all those things. We want to take up them principles and put them in our life instead of the things that are in the Word of God. Our activities, we want them to be like the world's activities, and our speech like the world's speech. No. God called us to be different. We're ambassadors for the perfect Son of God, God the Son. We're his ambassadors, you see. And God tells us in the book of James that friendship of the world is enmity with God. So you mark that one down. You want to be friends with the world, you're an enemy of God. I didn't say it. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you exactly what it says. Amen. You see, we're called to be witnesses. We're commanded to do the Father's will. We're sent to be ambassadors. But what have we done? We've fled to our own tents. And we refuse to go. Ambassadors go. Ambassadors move. Amen. No, we went to our own tents, and we want to do it our way. We want to be what we want to be. Listen, do you realize that God has given us everything we need to be those ambassadors? Do you realize that God has given us the armor of God to put on? Do you realize He's given us the weapons to fight with, that weapon, the Word of God here to fight with, the sword of the Spirit? He's given us everything we need to be an ambassador to battle this old world. He's given us everything. We don't lack anything, and yet we refuse to go. Some of you men are soldiers out here, been in the service. I don't think you'd have got very far if your general or your commander, your captain or your lieutenant or whoever it might have been telling you to do something. You'd said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it mine. You wouldn't have lasted long. No, sir. But why do we as Christians do that? God's given us instruction in His Word. He's told us what to do. He's told us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He's told us that. He's given us His command to be ambassadors. Now, how can we disobey what He says? A-W-L. Amen. You see, what we do is this. What it is, and it's what I started off with, folks, we forgot the purpose of the church. The whole purpose of the church is to see souls saved.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose. You see, what we do is we make attempts to try to get this world to stop sinning. We have drug programs to try to get the druggies to quit doing drugs. Now listen to me. You say, well, Brother Ross, is that bad? I don't care if you try to get them to quit using drugs, but that's not going to get them to heaven. We're not in the business in the church to get people to quit using drugs. I'm not in business in the church to quit people to quit drinking. Because you know what I know? I know if they get their heart right, they'll quit. I hope you don't mind me using him. Ron Allen, isn't that right? There's a hand up back there. It took getting saved to make him quit drinking. No, we want to get people to quit drinking, quit doing drugs. To quit abortions. You know how I hate abortions. It's horrible. It's terrible. But I want to tell you, the way we get people to quit doing abortions is to get them saved. Get their heart right. See, the work of the church is not to get the abortion crowd to quit aborting people. The work of the church is getting people saved. Now, I'm against abortion. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. It's so wrong. But I'm just simply saying to you, the work of the church is to get people saved. The immorality is going on in this old country is horrible. It is pitiful. It is amazing that God doesn't just squash us. But I want to tell you something. I didn't want to just clean up the immoral people. I want to get them saved. You get them saved and they'll get their morals right. Amen. See, the Bible says the whole world lieth in iniquity. You can't change the activities of a world that lies in iniquities. You're not going to change their activities. What we've got to do is get to the heart, because the Bible tells us that for it's out of the heart proceedeth all evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornication, and thereby false witnesses and blasphemies. He says that's where it comes from, is out of the heart. It's not anywhere else. See, we've got to get the heart right. You understand what I'm saying? That's the church's work. We've lost it. We've turned away. We want to try to straighten out a community around here and get them doing right. Folks, you can get them doing right by getting them saved. That's the way you get them doing right. You see, this land of ours will be healed when we get right with God. That's what He said in His Word. No, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, He'll forgive our sins and He'll heal our land. This old land needs healed. There's no doubt about it, but we need to get our hearts right with God. That's why I'm preaching to you this morning. I want your hearts right with God. I'm not a reader of hearts, but I want to tell you right now, the answer is not cleaning up this old world. It's cleaning up our lives, cleaning up the church's life to be the kind of church it should be so we can reach more souls for Christ. Amen? That's the Christian purpose. And I trust we'll get back and remember what our purpose is. When you leave this place this morning, I trust you'll remember what the purpose of the church is. That's to win souls. You say, I know, Brother Ross, that's this building. No, the church is not this building. The church is you and me. And that's who's supposed to win souls. Amen. I trust this has helped you this morning. I trust you'll just listen to what God had to say through this preacher this morning. We need to get our churches back right with God. Get away from this old social stuff and all that business. Now, I want to tell you something wonderful. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He came all the way from heaven and died on an old rugged cross. He died there and shed his blood for you and for me. He did that so we wouldn't have to go to hell, that we could go to heaven and be with him forever and evermore. Say, Brother Ross, who's that for? That's for everybody. That's to whosoever will. If you're willing, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, if you will just trust Christ, and we're going to give an invitation, you can come right down this aisle and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. If you'll put your faith and trust in Christ, not in this world, not in yourself, not in anything else, but in Christ, he'll save your soul and forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, make you a new creature in him. Amen? God will do that. No, God will do that for you. All he's waiting is for you to receive him, to put your faith and trust in him, believe upon him, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that this morning? It's what the Bible says. We're asking you to please bow your heads. Close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, this morning, I'm here this morning, and I believe with all of my heart there's been a time in my life, and I know that if I died today, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. I know for sure. I've trusted Christ. I know I would go to heaven. Thank you very much. You can put your hands down. You said, Brother Ross, I do not know for sure I'm ready. I do not know for sure I'm ready for heaven. Brother Ross, would you just pray for me? You say, Brother, you say, are you going to call my name out? I would never do that. I'll never call your name out. I'll not point you out. I'm just going to pray for you. But you're just indicating by your raised hand that you want me to pray for you. You're not saved and you're not ready for heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Say, I'm not saved. I'm not ready for heaven. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. I'm just not ready for heaven. I'm just not ready. I know I'm not saved. I'm not ready. Someone else. You say, Brother Ross, God spoke to my heart this morning. And when you talk to us about the church and what we should be, and I'm just not that. I've been concerned, and there's some things that are spoken about this morning God dealt with me about. Would you just raise your hand? Say, I'm a Christian, but I need help. Yes, thank you. Hands all over. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, I'm going to pray in just a moment. I want to encourage you. I want to say to those who raised their hand concerning salvation, you know, God loves you so much. He came all the way from heaven to die for your sin. He loves you so much. Jesus died on that old rugged cross for you, and he was buried, and he rose again. Because he lives, you also can live. And God loves you and wants to save you this morning. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have an invitation. We invite you to come at the invitation. Just come down this aisle, and we'll help you to know Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, your grace. Thank you for those who was honest enough, Father, to raise their hand concerning salvation. They don't know about salvation. They're not sure they're saved. God bless them and help them. Help them to step forward this morning, put their faith and trust in Jesus. Help us as God's people this morning, Father. We need help. We may just need to come to an altar prayer and get along with God. And just give all everything to the Lord and ask for his help. Well, Father, we pray that that'll happen. We trust that during this invitation, Father, your will be done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.